That is very exciting.
It's always like I don't like when a chag comes around and you know
a shot. I do a chana.
Perm already.
After Yid always has to do a chag, especially perm.
Yeah.
Like we learned on perm katan. The impossibility of hachana for the preparing ourselves for the unknowable. That's what perm katan is.
Significance of perm?
What?
If you have like a chonus or perm, like you're trying to go on with like certain amount.
So that's what we explain on perm katan. You make all the hachanas you can, and then you say Hashem, that's it.
I told that.
There's no plan.
You
can't make a plan for perm. You have to plan, but you can't make a plan. Okay, that's the Venahafachuf firm. Okay, so Rav Wolfson, in the back of the Bereshis and Shemos volume, Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita, Bereshis Shemos volume, Amunas Yitaha, has a piece called the Igeres HaPurim. And we have to read it the way that he wants us to read it, which is as a letter. Who is it a letter to? So I don't want to, you know, I don't like to spoil things right away, so we'll see. But it's a letter to us to help us to draw Chizuk as we approach the Yom Tov HaPurim. Okay, so let's see. Let's jump right in. Igeres HaPurim. Rav Moshe Wolfson, Shlita. Rav of Emunas Yisrael, Buru Park. Probably the person who's most responsible for shaping the way that I think in Chassidus. Even though I don't use the Sfarim as much as I used to. That's not for any reason other than, I don't know. I don't have a good excuse. But this piece is very beautiful. So let's see. Maseches Megillah. Rav Masna Pasach La Pischa Lahai Parshasa Mehacha. Rav Masna, when he would begin his drasha on Megillas Esther, he would begin with the following drasha. Now the Gemara has a whole list there in Yud Aleph Mar Aleph of people who had like an opening mimer as they began to darshan the Megillah. They pick a pasuk, sometimes from the Megillah, sometimes from elsewhere in Tanakh, and use it as kind of the key to unlock. I think actually Svasemis says that Pasach la Pischa means he opened an opening. It means this is the Pesach, this is the Mafteach to unlock the entire story. So Perish Rashi, Kashai wrote to Lidrosh Bigeres HaPurim, Hayamaschel Lidrosh Mikrozeh, or Mikrozeh. We begin by darshaning the following Pasach. Kimi goy gadol asher lo elokim krov melav. If you want to understand the secret of Megillas Esther, you need to understand the pasuk Kimi Goy Gadol Asher Lo Elokim Krovim Elav. What other great nation has a God that's so close to him as our nation has in our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch? Says the Marsha, Ki Haman Amar Shekvar Herchikam Elokeihem Yal Panav. The danger of Purim was not only the physical danger, but it was Haman who was trying to convince us that we had been abandoned. That Achashverosh is parting because the 70 years are up. That Hashem had distanced himself and he was never coming back. So therefore, says Rav Masna, to begin the Purim, the appreciation of Purim, we need to understand this pasuk that Hashem is in Elokim was Krovim Elav. V'amar ki lo Elokim Krovim, as the pasuk concludes, B'chol Kareinu Elav. Whenever you call to Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu is ready and listening. Da'inu b'chol makum shekareinu Elav hu karav lanu ad kan l'shono. So this is the Mafteach to unlock the entire story of Purim. V'amashmaos shel ha-pischaos li'igeres ha-purim. She'iz ha-sham b'gemar. What is the nature of this, of these psichas, these strange openings, right? Each of these different amorayim, we're giving a drasha. What's the pshat? L'chol chachamim, market the islay. Each one with his own interpretation. Shevapasik zeh matzanu hashar lichanes l'toch tochen ha-megillah u'lekova yasid b'nafsho seinu. If I want to attach myself, right? A yated means a peg, like a peg. If I hammer the Megillah into my heart, then it shouldn't leave. So the way that I do that is by understanding the key to unlock the Megillah. So I want to be able to let it in. I have to open it up to unleash it. So says Rashi, interesting, says Rav Wolfson, Rashi referred to what? Rashi referred to this Pesach as what? Shetafas lashon igeres hapur. Rashi says, when they wanted to darshan the igeres hapur, it's a funny lashon, darshan the igeres hapur, who calls the Megillah igeres hapur? So Rav Wolfson says, the fact that Rashi, by the psichos in Megillah Dafir Aleph, when each of these Amoram is trying to find the key to unlock the Megillah, we're not just trying to read it as an important historical document, Chas V'Shalom. We're not even trying to just read it as part of Kisvei HaKodesh. We're trying to read it as Igeres HaPurim. The Igeres HaPurim. What does that mean? Rashi refers to it as Igeres HaPurim, V'lo Nakat Lashon Megillah, where it's underlined. Karagir b'chol masechta. So what's his kavana? Bavade kavanaso. Sheikra mechuvan megillah hulo dianu davar shenachuz lanu biyichud leida. Hashem wants to tell us something in a very personal, individual kind of way. Kamo igeres sheshlucha ben adam lechavero ubo modio eze inyan biyichud lo. When a person sends a letter, it's not, right? This is not a kol kore. This is a personal letter that's being sent to every Jew with a personal message for each and every one of us. Yes.
Is igeres different than mechel?
The answer has to be yes, but I'm not sure what the difference is.
I think the Mishnah Berurah calls it igeres.
Yeah, I mean the Megillah itself refers to itself as an igeres.
So we fold it.
But like I'm saying within Maseches Megillah, right? The halachas dictate we fold it like an igeres. But within Maseches Megillah, it's strange that Rashi, Dafko over here, refers to the Megillah, which he always calls the Megillah. Just look at Rashi in Maseches Megillah. He calls it the Megillah. If he references the Megillah, he calls it the Megillah. Here he's calling it by the more flowery name, the Igeres HaPurim. What's the pshat? The pshat is, because if you want to unlock the Megillah, which is what these Amoraim are trying to do, you have to understand that this is a very personal letter that's being sent to you. We'll see who the you is. You is us, but we'll see what that means. And who it's sent to us by. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mordechai Tzadik, Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever. We'll figure out who's the sender of the letter. And it's all everything we just said is true. Right? But it's a personal letter. It's written personally for you. V'sover of Masna Shemordechai V'Esra Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh Shofi Aleihem Sholchu Igeres Zeh L'Dorom U'Lezarim Achareyem. Like it says in the Megillah, this was the letter that Mordechai and Esther sent to their generation, to all future generations. Asher ha'olam yikol igeres hu, that the bottom line, the punchline of the igeres is, lo kasher atem sovrim. Beis Yisrael nefutzim begola be'eretz ha'amim. Jews who are scattered throughout the land, it's not like you think. Shenishvachaktem elokeichem, that God has God forbid, abandoned you, has moved far away from you. Chos milahazker, don't say such a thing, don't let anyone convince you of such a thing. That the God who was always close to you is still close to you, like the Yemei Kedem. Right, you were close to the king's palace, when you were walking around the inner chambers, guess what? You're still there. And even though at times it seems like you've been thrust away, sent away from the palace, Bikomakum lozaz michibaschem va'osa lechem nisim v'neflos afilu al adamat meya. Even if you find yourself in a tamei land, I'm allowed to think also while I teach now. Even if you find yourself in a tamei land, Chaver, it's coming down. You got to catch some.
I forgot who was speaking about that. I was able to write two letters at the same time with different hands.
That I can't do. But I can try to talk at the same time. Yeah, Chaim Moser, I was able to do like 17 things at once in the Raga Chavar also. Okay, so even if you think you've been cast away from the palace, don't believe that for a second. Don't let anyone think that you're not still walking in the Chatzar HaMelech. Even if you find yourself in a foreign land, miracles are happening. They may be more concealed, they may be miracles of a different type, but miracles are still happening, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is still watching over you. Okay, so he says, let's try to explain what the nature of this Igeres is, who the Igeres is being written to, under what circumstances. So he says, I need to give a few hakadamas. Okay, I need to give a few introductory points just to set the framework of what I want to share with you. Says Rav Wolfson, Aleph, B'sefer HaTanya Perek Beis. In the writings of the Tanya, the second parak, the Tanya describes to us how we have to look at the entirety of the Jewish people, from the beginning till the end. He says as follows: Yesh ravavos mine chaluke madreyos b'neshamos. The Tanya says in the second chapter, there are countless levels of neshamos. Gavoa mi'al gavoa, turn the page, la'ein kates. Endless levels. Kamo godo malas neshamos ha'avos, u'moshe rabbeinu alav ha'shalom. Al neshamos doreinu eila de'ikvei meshicha, So for example, if I take that first generation that stood at Har Sinai with Moshe as their leader, the distance between us is very great. Moshe being the head of the generation, the Moach, so to speak, the mind of Klal Yisrael. And here we are, the Ikvas of the Mashiach, corresponding to the Ikev Mamish, right? Literally to the heel, the lowest part of the body, the most trampled part of the body. The leaders of any particular generation are the heads of that generation. So whoever the leaders are today, they are the heads of our generation. Even though, historically, in the big picture, they're still part of the feet. They're still part of Ikvas of the Mashiach. But they are the heads of the Gabi Neshamos Hamon Va'amei Aretz V'chul, compared to the simple people, the regular people, the masses. Yikol Malkum Sharesh Kol Nefesh Ruach Neshama Kulam Mirosh Kol Madregos Atzof Kol Dargin Hamalubash V'guf Ama Aretz V'kal Shebekalim. But you have to recognize what? That the root of every Nefesh Ruach Neshama, from the highest to the lowest, they're deeply connected. And like the Tanya explains, we spoke about this a couple weeks ago, Nimshach Mi Moach Ha'elyon Shichach Mi Yilach Kiviyachol. The same way we explained, both metaphysically and medically, right, that a certain trigger in the mind of the father will produce the zera, and within that zera contains the DNA to create the child's brain and his heart and his toenails, literally, as the Tanya says. K'moshal ha-ben she-nimshach mi-moach ha-av, like the child who emerges from the father's mind in a certain sense. And so much so, she-afilusi parnei raglav, nishavim bitipazum mamish. That same drop of zera, which will create the child's brain, will also create the child's toenails. In that process of formation in the 9 months in the mother's womb. So therefore there's always a hiskashus throughout all the generations. We have to feel we are directly connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. That the same DNA that was found within Moshe Rabbeinu is found within us. That the child's toenails are connected to the father's brain. Right? The child's toenail is directly connected to the child's brain, and the child's brain is connected back to the father's brain, to the tipa zera that formed the child. And you can trace it back endlessly. And the toenails are still drawing sustenance and drawing on that connection that they have to the brain. As the souls descend through the worlds. So now we're in the Ikvas of the Mashiach. We feel that we're far from the starting point, but we're actually very much connected to the starting point. Maybe that's the pshat. Maybe that's the pshat that the last generation, which brings us back to the starting point, right? Kind of that circle, that Leinei Kol Yisrael, finishing the Torah back to Bereishis. Like I told you the other week, the Medrash says Adam Rishon was folded in half, that his feet were touching his head. Part of the idea is the realization that, yeah, that there was always a hiskashus between the feet and the head. That the toenails were always connected to the brain. That there never was that distancing. So much so that the next step after Ikvas HaMashiach is Mashiach, is back to the start. That when you finish the farthest place from Bereishis, in a certain sense, the last word of the Torah, go immediately back to Bereishis, to show that there really wasn't that huge separation. There was a perception of separation, but there really wasn't a separation. So again, the lowest Jews are connected back to the tzaddikim, the chachamim of all the earlier generations. Ad kan l'shono im ksat hashmatos. Basically, these are the words of the Tanya with minor modifications. Okay, but more or less, he's quoting that whole paragraph was a direct quote, more or less from the Tanya, the second paragraph.
Maybe even that generation, like the lowest people in that generation, are also connected to the highest people of that generation.
Yeah, it's always. It's stacked, it's layers, it's interwoven. Yeah. 100%. Okay, base. A second hakdama, something we spoke about on Thursday. That in the Sfar HaKadosh, we know there's an inyan of Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Sefer Yetzirah talks about everything existing in three dimensions. Vihi, Ro, Ki Mireishis HaBriya, Sidra HaKadosh Baruch HaShutiya HaBriya Meshuleshes. Everything operates in cycles of three. What does that mean? Klo Amar Shekol Inyani HaBriya, Yiyu b'bechinas olam, v'gam kulam b'chinas shana, v'gam kulam b'chinas nefesh. That there's a hiskashrus between an olam, a place in the world, a shana, a time, and a nefesh, a person. He says, where it's underlined, uledugma, yesh kama nefashos mimadregos shonos, v'harosh v'ashor shalem hu rosh ador. You have many different types of Jews, and the leader of the generation is the Rosh. Ula Umazek, corresponding to that, there are many artsos, many places, different places. Where is the Rosh in terms of places? Kodesh Kadashim, Evan Shesia, Shemisham Hushas HaOlam. Okay, Ula Umazek or Zmanim, that are the Rosh in Zman. What's the Rosh in Zman? Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh in Zman. If I count the calendar year, from the calendar starting point, so then I look at Nisan as the Rosh of the year, which will make other, of course, the because of the Mashiach, will make other correspond to the lowest part of the calendar, okay, which is important for us to think about, and that's sort of where we're headed. Ula halacha, bottom paragraph, naktin and Kirby Yeshua, we pass by Kirby Yeshua, Sheva Nisa Nivra Olam, Va'azhu Rosh Chadashim Rishon Lachot Sheyashana, like we know from Parshas Bo. And he says that which we know, that Rosh Hashanah, the way we think, if I ask you, when's Rosh Hashanah, you don't immediately respond, Nisan. Right? Your gut reaction is to say Tishrei. The fact that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer with regard to Rosh Hashanah, as far as the Yom HaDin, he says, Ein kan makomo levayer, top of the left column. He says, take a look at the famous Tosos in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Zayin Amin Aleph. What does it say there? What does it say there? We have a machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. That machlokas appears in Rosh Hashanah, I believe, Daf Yud Aleph. On Daf Chav Zayin, Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, I believe, as saying that what? Rabbi Yoshua, who holds Nisan, and Rabbi Eliezer, who holds Tishrei, says Tosos Eilu Veilu Dibre Elokim Chayim. There's truth to both of them. Right? There's creation in Machshava, and there's creation in Maisa. So they're both true. So again, how we worked it out, why Dafka, the Zman of the judgment of man is in Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, and the calendar year, the Zman of Geula, is Nisan, right? But really we paskin like Rabbi Yoshua. How do you know you paskin like Rabbi Yoshua? So it's still not really true what I'm saying. Because we sometimes do paskin like Rabbi Yoshua. But Rabbi Yoshua says, no, we paskin like Rabbi Yoshua, and I'll prove it to you. Lachin ein mevarchim birchas hachama b'nisan, anu mevarchim birchas hachama b'nisan b'nei shalach Rabbi Yoshua. When do we make a bracha? We make a bracha, we're saying this is really the halacha. Birchas Hacham is in Nisan, because that's really the starting point of things. Okay? It's funny, because if we were learning differently, if this was Rosh Hashanah time, we would say, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. From the fact that what? That we have Yom HaDin Rosh Hashanah. And we even say in the Rosh Hashanah davening, Zeh Yom Tchilas Ma'asecha. So you see that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So again, that's what Eilu Eilu Dibre Elokim Chayim means. They're both absolutely true. Even though if I were to try to focus on two things at once, I would be confused. But I have to allow for both of them to be 100% true. Okay, so Ramos is not trying to just make it work out because the Mahalach he wants to take. But we have to believe Halacha L'maisa, we paskin like Rabbi Yoshua. And that's why Birchas Hacham is in Nisan. Okay? So let's see. He says, V'china Zman, third line. Nisan, therefore, is the Rishis. Nisan is Tchilas Hizgalas Malchusu Yisbarach Bo'olam. The beginning of Hashem's revelation of this world. And that's why it's called Nisan, because in Bamidbar Chafal, if it says what, when there was a terrible plague with the snakes, it says, make a nachash nechoshes v'sim oso al nes. What's a nes? T'kabish ofar gadol l'chiraseinu v'son nes l'kabish kliyoseinu. What's a nes? A banner. And where is a banner? Is a banner held down low? Or is a banner held up high? A banner is held up high. Can I get the Rosh? Right, you raise up a banner. You hang it from the rafters. The simo saw nes. So Nisan is a zman of what? Of a banner. It's held up above. Shulamalav and Yerlakol, it's held up for all to see. That's why Nisan is a zman where everyone can see what's going on. What does it mean we can see what's going on? Open miracles. Kriyas Yamsuf, the Makos. Right? The whole world of Nisan, Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though of course the Makos took place over the course of a year, but that whole world of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Nisan, is his man of what? Of Nisan, which are revealed. So now we go down through the calendar year. The same way again, Moshe Rabbeinu the Rosh corresponds to Nisan. So now we're traveling down through the year. We're going down from the Rishis. We're getting farther away from the source. And the nefashos are getting lower. You read this adoros, as we say. Just like within the nefesh of a person, yeshon roshei adoros, kmo doros shamosh rabenu, ad bechinas adoros amismatim, v'holchem ad tekuva shal ikvus in the Mashiach, like the Tanya told us. So too in the calendar, When was the Rosh of Klal Yisrael? The Rosh of Klal Yisrael was that generation, the Dor Dea, the Dor that stood at Har Sinai. Asher Oz Vayhi Bichurin Melech Bisaseh Rosh Am. That was the Zman of Rosh Am. Haisa Tekufas HaNisan. That was the Nisan of Klal Yisrael. Vaz Haisa Kol HaNhaga B'Nisim Nigalim. Shayisiyas Mesayim Matan Torah. Right? It was all Nes Nigla. Why? Because again, when you're holding by the Rosh, it's held up high, it's for all to see. Unlike the heel, which is covered over. And therefore, the whole Hanhaga of that generation was eating the man, and the Beir Shal Miriam, and open miracles. That was their world. Adoreinu achshav shit kufas ha'adr v'sof hazman. And now we're starting to see why Adr is so relevant to us. Because what Adr is in time, we are in Jewish history. The Ikvus of the Mashiach corresponds to Chodesh Adr. The end of time, both in terms of us being the end of time historically, in terms of 6,000 years of time, and Adar being the lowest point, the end of the calendar year. V'lama nimshala Esther l'shachar. Why is Esther compared to the shachar, the Gemara asks in Yoma? Ma'ashachar sof kol ha'layla af Esther sof kol ha'nisan. V'hu sof ha'layla ha'hefech shon nisan shu t'chilas bokro shal Yisrael. Esther is a zman of what? It's the end of the night. Now the end of the night is in a certain sense is darkest, but it's also on the verge of light, which is why you go from Adar back to Nisan, which is Zman of Boker, the birth of Klal Yisrael, the light of Klal Yisrael. You go from Anochi Hastir Astir, you go straight back to what? You go straight back to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you go straight back to Yisias Mitzrayim, Zekei Livan Ve, you can point to Hashem, it's so clear. Okay, so it's an interesting Chibor from Adar back to Nisan. But that's us, Nikos of the Mashiach. Rabbi Chazal, Esther min haTorah minayin, Chulin Kuf Lamed Tes. Where do we know Esther in the Torah? Shenamar v'anochi haster hastir. V'yesh lomar. Shelechein nikra Adar. So now he says, I'll tell you a deeper pshat in the name Adar. Very interesting. What does Adar mean? He says, Adar is milashon aderet seyar, shu levush av. Adar means an aderet. What's an aderet? A cloak. Esav was covered, a deres seir, a levush av, a thick garment. Yeah? A thick garment. It's a great mashal. Because if you remember, the Tanya says, in describing the mashal of a person who, when he learns Torah, is hugging the king. So you might say, I'm not hugging the king, I'm hugging the king's clothing. So the Tanya says, it doesn't matter how thick the clothing is, you're hugging the one who's inside the clothing. So Adar is a zman where what? Where it's easy to get lost in the thick clothing. Right? There's an aderes. There's a certain, it's not refined, it's not revealed, it's very much hidden under a thick cloak. Why? Because the miracles of Adar are very hard to see. It's hard to see who's beneath the surface. Who's under that garment? That's part of the reason we wear masks, to challenge ourselves. We wear costumes. Challenge yourself to see who's beneath the surface of this garment. By the way, there's a sefer called the Or HaMeir. Gave a shiur a couple of years ago. Maybe it was last year, I don't remember. I think it was 2 years ago. He has an amazing vark, B'Shem Deval Shem Tov, explaining what that whole sugya of Vashti being asked to come undressed before the oilam over there by the party. Yeah? Deval Shem Tov explained that the idea of Vashti coming undressed, appearing before the crowd, not wearing anything, right? Vashti explains, represents all the kochos of Tum. Vashti is actually, I think, 2 times Nachash. What's the 8? 358 times 2 is Vashti. Yeah, there's 2 types of the Sfarim talk about 2 types. There's 2 types of kochos of Nachash, whether it's male and female, like everything exists in the world. But 716 Vashti, 716. Yeah, 2 times Nachash. So Vashti represents all of the negativity, all of the Tum in the world. And therefore, when we say, Vashti, take off your garments, let's see what's beneath the surface, she gets very nervous. Why does she get nervous? Because when you confront the Yetzer Hara, and you say, let me see who you really are. You know, I know how you talk, I know how you present yourself, right? I know how you want me to imagine you to be, but what are you really? What's lurking beneath the surface? When you can say that to the Yetzer Hara panics. Where do you see that in Chumash? Where do you see that in Chumash? When Yaakov is fighting Esav shel Esav, right? And like it says in Sichas Musar, Chaim Shmulevitz develops this idea. When Yaakov says, "Tell me, what is your name?" and the Malach panics, and he says, "Well, why are you asking my name?" What's name? We know what a name is. A name is the essence of something. So when Yaakov confronts Vayavik Yishimo, he confronts Sarshal Esav, and he says, tell me, what do they call you? Right? And he said, why do you ask my name? What do you want to know about my name? So Chashua Levitt says, the Yitzhar doesn't have a name. He's nervous to reveal his name because he doesn't have a name. Name means he has an essence. He doesn't have an essence. It's all dimionos. It's all perception. It's all imagination of what it could be. Yeah? So when we take off, by the Sitra Achra, if we take off the layers, we see that, well, there's really nothing there. And when I'm pursuing Ruchnias, just the opposite. The more layers I can remove, the more I see that there's something even deeper there. So therefore, in the month of Adar, there's a danger of what of an Adaris, that a person only sees the natural order of things. There's no open miracles in Adar. There's no Shem Hashem in Migilas Esther. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wearing very thick clothing. And therefore, when we put on the costumes on Adar, in the month of Adar, we're challenging ourselves to try to be able to recognize what's beneath the surface, even if the surface is very confusing. On the surface, it's a banana, it's a hot dog, right? Click shtick. It's a banana, it's a hot dog.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was good. Okay.
My brother, I was talking to Josh Weinberg last night.
What?
I was talking to my brother Josh last night. He said to me, is there a guy in your shir who, like, quotes you on Twitter? I said, yeah, click shtick. He's like, oh yeah, I thought that was you. I saw those initials, I thought it was you. I wasn't sure. Yep, one and only. One and only. Okay, good. Gimel. Ready for Gimel? So what are we? Okay, so that's Chazer. So Aleph was what? Aleph was there's endless madregos, and there's the Rosh, and there's the Sof within people. Right? Beis was that everything that exists in three dimensions, Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Which means, like, just as there are lofty neshamos and lower neshamos, there's lofty times, Nisan, and there's lower times, there's other. Okay? Now, we need to go one step further. Yadua, he says, Gimel, Sheyunbe'ez Shvatim, the 12 Shvatim correspond to the 12 months. How do I line them up is an interesting question. The Arizal, the gears that he follows in Sefer Yetzirah, puts them in the order of the Degalim of the Midbar. And therefore, Yehuda, who leads the way, is Nisan. Iyar is Yisachar, Vechulu. So that means Teves Shvat Adar, the last 3 months, are going to correspond to the last Degel. Who's the last Degel?
Dan.
Okay, good, Dan. Dan travels to the north, which is considered last. Who's part of the Degel of Dan? Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. Teves Shvat Adar, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. So we normally assume, the Rizal would assume, that Dan is connected Teves, Naphtali is connected Adar. Okay, Ayin, Rav Avram Shor, Zalekach Malivov on Adar from a few years ago. The first whole section is all about the connections between Naphtali and Chodesh Adar. So maybe we'll talk about that a different time. But that's what the Arizal, that's how the Arizal arranges it. He says, Yesh mina Gaonim, some Gaonim put it in order of their age. So Nisan would be Reuven, and you follow the Shvatim in that order. He says that's how Rav Yaakov Emden brings it in the Siddur.
Wouldn't that be Binyamin though?
Okay.
Forced?
Yeah. Some say now. So again, there's all different ways to arrange it. There's the Shari Ora, which is an important early work of Kabbalah that arranges it a certain way. Ibn Ayyas also quotes from the Arizal, they quote from Rav Yaakov Emden, they quote from the Shari Ora, and depending on which mahalach I want to take, there's truth to all of them. And that's why he writes here, he quotes from Rav Tzadok in Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Os Zayin, that Eilu Veilu Devei Elokim Chaim, Shakol Emes, Ki Lefamim Mofia Benefesh Koach Zeh, Lefam Koach Zeh. The same way that a person, right, if you were to say to a person, you know, what is your main character trait? Well, it depends. Sometimes I'm more like this, sometimes I'm more like that. Sometimes, you know, so sometimes Nisan will express itself as Reuven, and sometimes Nisan will express itself as Yehuda. Is one more essential than the others? Perhaps. But Elu ve'Elu. Okay? Elu ve'Elu. So we can make a strong case that, again, if the last 3 months are corresponding to the flag and the encampment of Dan, that's Dan, Asher, Naphtali. Teves, Shrat, Adar. So look what he writes here. V'harizal, as we turn the page. The Arizal is Chodesh Adar l'shev Naphtali. The Arizal assigns the month of Adar to Naphtali. Because Naphtali is the Achron in the Degalei HaMidbar. The Degalei HaMidbar. V'huzko Achrona b'parshas b'midbar. And Naphtali is the last one mentioned. V'chein b'karbanos nesim. If you go to Midbar Perek Zion, when the 12 nesim bring their karbanos, who brings on the 12th day? as we turn the page, Biyom Shneim Asar Yom, turn the page, Nasi Livnev Naftali. Anyone's Bar Mitzvah Parsha? Who's the Nasi of Naftali? Brought on the 12th day? Achira ben Einan. Einan with an ayin. Thank you. Yeah? Okay, so these are. So you could argue that Naftali corresponds to Chodesh Adar. Again, there's a lot to work on there. But Cesar Wolfson, Aval Parshas Baalosta, when it talks about how the Jews traveled, it says, V'nosa Degel Machane b'nei Don Ma'asif l'chol ha'machanos. Don, we know, is referred to as the Ma'asif l'chol ha'machanos. So you'll say, okay, true. That doesn't change anything. Don, that cluster of Don, Asher, and Naftali, brings up the rear of the camp. But what Wolfson wants to do is he wants to move Shevet Don into the last slot. He wants Shevet Don to be the lowest. And we'll have good reason to make the case for that. V'rashi sham hevi mirushalmi. Shaya Shevet Don nosea ba'achrona. Rashi says in the name of the Yerushalmi that the Shevet of Don, not just the Degel of Don, but the Shevet of Don travels in the back. And the part of the responsibility of Shevet Don is what? Umi shahayim avid eza davar hayamachzir lo. If a person would lose something along the way, they would sweep up from behind the camp. So if they found like a pacifier lying in the sand, right, Shevet Dan, who was the back of the camp, would scoop it up and they'd run back to the front of the line to some nice lady from Shevet Yehuda, whose baby's screaming, and say, oh, I think you dropped your pacifier. That was their job, Hashavas Aveda. Now Hashavas Aveda, of course, let's think like deep people. Hashavas Aveda obviously means a lot of things. Hashavas Aveda, lost souls, lost Jews. Okay? A lot to think about. Visham bi Yerushalmi yeshan shtei deos b'zeh. So there's two opinions in the Yerushalmi how exactly it looked when they traveled. L'chad manda amar. This is what Rashi brings in Balos. L'chad manda amar hayunosim kakora. One opinion is that they traveled in a straight line. Shevet in the straight line. Perish kashura arucha zeh achar zeh. V'shevet Don traveled in the back. Okay, so that would put Don really in the back. Uliidach mandamar, the other opinion is no. Hayunosim kateva, they traveled in the box, in a square. The same way they camped. Like the pasuk says, Kasher Yachanu Kein Yisal, they traveled in the same way that they camped. So how does Don come out of the back? How would Don be in the back?
Last line.
He'd be right next to Yehuda.
Let's say we're traveling in this direction, right? So Yehuda's to the east. Which means that Dan is over here. Dan's to the north. How is that the back of the camp? Yehuda's leading the camp. Seemingly Ephraim's the back of the camp. The west. So we'll see. He's about to say, Dan was very populous. There are many people from Dan. So some of them would lag behind, and they would actually end up in the last spot. They'd end up even behind Ephraim. Okay, that's what he's about to say. But now at least you have a picture to see it. So Degel Yehuda was to the Mizrach. Reuven was to the south. Dan was to the north. Ephraim was to the west. Avalafi Shahaya Shevet Dan Meruba Buchlusin, because Shevet Dan was so populous. Hayim Mispashit Achorei HaMachanos Kedeshia Ribua Beribua Shalim. In order to round out the square, Ephraim needed, you know, some more people to make sure that they kept that whole wall strong. So Shevet Dan would spill over, and that would really maintain the shape, so to speak, of the square that they were traveling in, the box. Yeah.
When they would travel, they always, Dun was always to the north, Yehuda was always to the east.
Yeah.
And they would move like a grid.
Right.
They wouldn't rotate.
No, it sounds like they would maintain the shape.
What makes Dun always west? Why not, you know, if they're moving west, so then Yehuda would be left.
No, if they're moving west, then they rotate, meaning Yehuda's always leading the way, whatever direction they're going.
So the square does rotate?
Yeah, the square rotates. Yeah, the square will rotate. No, if they're going north, Don doesn't lead. Whatever direction, the square itself will rotate. And Don will always spill over to the back.
Yehuda's always
in the front.
Why is Don?
According to the other opinion, right, in the Yerushalmi, they traveled in a straight line. So Yehuda was at the top. Uh-huh. Right, and Shevet, with Don in the back.
So how is he at the north then?
Okay. He's the north and they camped. This question is, Kasher Yachanu Kein Yisav. Did they travel the way that they camped? So Yerushalmi is two there, that's what that means. Does it mean that they literally traveled in the shape of a box, the same way they camped? Okay? Good? So either way, we've now presented the possibility that Don is in fact in the back. In the back of the camp. Okay, let's read where it's underlined. Uki'ilu heim chutz me'amachana. Shahareim tosefes al shneimasar makomos hakavuim. Heim hayu osan and nefashos hayu asukim ba shavas haveda, as we will explain. So if you think about it, if dan is really spilling over, right? Meaning there's 12 spots, 3 shvatim on each side, and now a portion of dan kind of creates their own space, almost like this 13th space behind Ephraim. So they become almost chutz l'machane. They're not really an authentic part of the camp. And they're always taking a Shavas Aveda. They're sweeping up and picking up anything that's lost along the way. So what is that about? Rav Wolfson wants to understand. Where is what?
The Dan lag behind.
Well, the Pasuk says that Dan is in Baal Oscha, the Pasuk says that Dan is the Ma'aseh for Chol HaMachanos. Right. Really good glasses, you guys. Biting my tongue.
You gave a shir on this in Shraga.
My mom is biting my tongue.
Why?
Why do I speak out in Shraga?
When you can't tell Rabbi Ifra shir, you spoke about
Yeah, the legs. It's hard for them. Kfar, B'nai Kfar. Too much travel.
I was like
tired.
3.5 years ago.
Right, so the way he's explaining it, again, so first it looks like Naphtali is the last, because that cluster of Dan is Dan Asher Naphtali. But he says Rashi is making it sound, based on this Yerushalmi, that Shevet Dan was in fact the last.
But how did that
work? So it would work, meaning when they were in camp, it was Dan was the head of that group. But if they travel in a straight line, apparently Rashi's from the Yerushalmi says that Dan, because the Torah says it was Ma'asev v'chol ha'machanos, Rashi says Shevet Dan was last. Or if you follow the opinion when they travel like a box, right, then still Dan would spill over to the last slot. So somehow we're trying to show how Dan is. Can I tell you what the punchline is? Just to make it more clear. The punchline is, if you have 13 months, if you have another Sheni, you need someone to fill that, you need a Shevet to correspond to that. So Dan really corresponds in the order of the Arizal to Teves, to the 9th slot, and to the 13th slot.
Okay, that's what my question was.
They'll become the lowest of the low will be
Menashe will be Ephraim.
Dan will be, no, Menashe and Ephraim are part of, are to the west.
He's not saying that Dan is Adah instead of Naphtali. He's just saying who's filling the 13th.
Correct.
Slot in the double amount.
But if there's no...
But we're saying that we're opening up the possibility that the Adar corresponds to Dan, and certainly Adar Sheni corresponds to Dan. That's the easiest case to... He hasn't fully said that. Okay, but a lot of Sfarim do that, so we have to work on that. Yeah.
I don't know if you can mention it, but the sign of Dan also,
Yeah, this is the heel and the snake. The epic battle of heel versus snake.
There's no lower end with
it. Right. I always wanted to say, if you look at the psukim at the beginning, right at the beginning of Bereishis, the epic battle of all time is what? Is Hu Yeshuv Charosh Va'ata Teshuchenu Akiv. So you have what? The most unfair battle ever.
David.
It's not just snake. This is what I wanted to say. It's not just snake, and I saw once in Siva Shalom something similar. It's not just snake versus heel, but what? It's the head of the snake versus the heel of man. Meaning it's the Yetzer Hara bigger than ever before versus the lowest part of man. Yeah, that's what we're living through. We have the craziest Yetzer Haras today. It's the Rosh of the snake that has to be trampled, has to be crushed by the heel of man. So it seems like, how do we have a fighting chance? Put the Ikvus of the Mashiach up against the fiercest Yetzer Haras? The answer is yeah. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a way of working things out. But I think it's something to think about there. Okay, so let's see. Now, do we know that there's any connection between Purim and Amalek and Shevet Dan? The answer is yes. There's a huge connection. And that will become more clear in the next paragraph. Uvezeh Yuvan Masha Darshu. Now we understand what it says in explanation of the pasuk V'yizaniv b'chol kol ha'nechash shalom acharecha, that Amalek targeted who? The nechash shalom acharecha, the weaklings. Says Rashi, Shem chaseri koach machmas chata'an shayu anan poltam yichutz l'machane. Rashi says there were weaklings who got kicked out of the Ananei HaKavod, Chosl Machane, because of their Averos. Do we know who these people are? Rashi doesn't identify. But if you look at the Targum Yonasan, it's very clear. Isa Sheheim Hayu Mishevet Dan, Shahayu Biyadam Pesel Shalmicha. Shevet Dan was traveling with Avodah Zarah. Even by Kriyas Yamsif, they had Avodah Zarah with them. Really bad. V'cheinu b'sifrein, so what do we find in the Medrash?
So why did they die in Mitzrayim?
Why did they die in Mitzrayim is a good question. Meaning they're not part of the four-fifths, yeah. Right? They almost died at the Yamsif. They were very close to dying at the Yamsif. The Gra has, in the Kol Eliyahu, in Parshas B'Shalach, the Gra says, that when the Pasuk says, U'mayim lehem choma mimino mismolam, the first time it's spelled choma, then it's spelled chema, it's spelled chaser. So Chazal say that Hashem was angry at the Yam. What was Hashem angry about at the Yam? Hashem was angry when he saw that there were Jews carrying Avodah Zarah. But think about it like this. If the Jews were traveling in the Yamsuf the same way they traveled, according to the Yerushalmi in a straight line, that means who was the last one to get out of the water? Shevet Dan. Which means at one point, who was the only one left in the water? Shevet Dan and the Mitzrim. And Hashem for a second had a Hav Amina to what? Just let the water come crashing down and finish off Shevet Dan along with the Mitzrim. That was the Chema, that was the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Yam. And Hashem allowed them to live.
The Pasuk there says...
We're going to do a lot more about that. I'm getting re-inspired to talk in the Sugya and Dan. Yeah.
The Pasuk there, the first time it mentions it, it says, Bnei Yisrael, we're going through the Yam, it was Bayam, Bayavasha.
Right.
It says, in the water...
Bayavasha was Sochayam.
And then a few seconds later, it flips around. It says,
right.
By Vasha Bayam.
Right.
Over there, it says Choma in both Sukkim.
Right.
One has it above, the second one has it above, implying that there is some anger that has
exactly. Exactly. Once most of them were on the dry land, there was only Shevet Dan left in the Yam. And Hashem was really, Kiryacha, holding himself back from destroying Shevet Dan. Okay? So Shevet Dan are the weaklings who Amalek are attacking. So now, let's see. So, Muva and Shahaya Anan Poltam Kiyayu Chutzmi Seder Shayur Beis Gvuli Al Chasun Amachuvanam Kenegigur Beis Siru Feshem Avaya. They didn't really fit in. Why are they getting thrown out of the clouds? Because again, this Riboy of Shevet Dan doesn't really fit into the 12 locations. Meaning, there is no 13th location. So if you don't fit into one of the 12, you're out. Ki lo b'chinam of mikra soder kein shayu achore amachane v'chutz me'aseder ki afilu korat shalafer lo kanu b'kom ochinam b'li ashkacha pratis, meaning everything has a specific place in the world, and therefore if they don't have a place, then they can't just like tag along. If they're not shayach to the Degalim, if they're not shayach to the 12 locations, then they're out. And Amalek saw this as an opportunity to attack these weaklings. They must not be part of Klai Yisrael. They don't have the protection of the Ananim. They have all these Averos. They are the ones who would be easiest to attack. So he says in the bottom paragraph, Nimtza, Shelaman da Amr Kekora Yuhochim. If you say that they traveled in a straight line, Hayashevet Dan Kulo Ochim Lachrona, then Dan, the entire Shevet, is in the back. And if you hold Vagam Shomatzav Chaniyaso Shua Iker, and if you'll say the way that they camped, they were really the ninth slot, like we said, Ushevet Achi'i. And the Rizal says that corresponds to Chodesh Teves, about Bizman Nisiya, when they traveling, of course, he says, being Merabis to Azman of Galus, Shadayin lo Boalam Nuchvel Anachala, by Yehi bin Soharon, Ozu Mechubanam Laadar. Shevet Dan, even if you want to say that they're Teves when we're camped, when we're traveling, when we're in Galus, Shevet Dan is in the back. Azman Achoshech va Hester. Right, that the whole story of Purim took place in what? In Shushan, which is Elam. Elam, he says, is the lashon of Halam, of Ha'alama, of Hester. Ne'elam means that which is hidden or concealed. So the whole story is in a very dark and mysterious, hidden, natural kind of way. V'lo b'mei giloi v'ora k'mo nisan. And therefore, the Targum Yonasan says one step further: what was written on the flag of Shevet Dan? Dan was a very dangerous. The whole existence of Dan is a dangerous part of the story of Klal Yisrael's history. What was written on Dan's flag? He says it said the pasuk about Loscha, Shuva Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. Shuva Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. Yeah, it's almost a call to what? It's a tefillah for Dan. Umash mashukmo tefillah shubamatzav shel uvnucha yomar. Right? We want to get to uvnucha yomar, shuva Hashem. V'lo v'ahi bin tzoa. We don't want Dan on the road, because if Dan's on the road, Amalek's on the attack, and God forbid we could lose the shaven. V'l'idach man da'amar. According to the other opinion, that they travel like a box, then you don't have all of shaven Dan lagging behind, but you still have a large portion of them that were trailing behind. Okay, so either way, Shevet Dan somehow corresponds to Adar, corresponds to the lowest Jews, the Jews most susceptible to the attacks of Amalek. Okay? So now he says, now that I've given you all the background, now I can put it together very quickly for you. Look what he says. Achakol advarim ba'emes ha'ela, now I can come, avo ala mechuvan ba'ezes Hashem Yisbach, now I can tell you what I really want to tell you. Okay, and here's where the love letter. Dear Shevet Dan, dear Shevet Dan, yeah, love Mordechai Tzadik, love Rav Moshe Wolfson, love Akadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's read the love letter. Zmanu shel Adar uzman mochama l'Hashem ba'amalik. Umadua, asher karcha baderech v'yizanu b'cha kol anechashol macharecha. Umihem anechasholom. Uma asu shneu l'nechashol. Who are these weaklings, and how did they become the weaklings, and why are they under attack? Heim heim asher amar Moshe odosam. These are the individuals who Moshe was worried about Avodah Zarah. We see that Dan is involved in Avodah Zarah. When Yeravam ben Nevat sets up his egel, or his agalim, right? His two egels. Where does he put them? From Dan ad Beersheva. Dan. He feels very comfortable setting up Avodah Zarah and Dan. And Micha. Hesel Micha. Dan. Dan is always getting involved with Avodah Zarah. Bad things are happening in Dan. So when Moshe says at the end of the Torah, I'm very nervous. What if there's someone amongst us who's a Vodazaranik? Pan Yeshbachem Mishpacha O Shevet Asher Lavavo Pona Hayomi Mashem Elokeinu Lalechas Lawis Elohea Goyimahim Pan Yeshbachem Shoresh Pore Rosh Vila Anda. Maybe someone's rotting here. Maybe there's a family, there's a Mishpacha, maybe there's an entire Shevet. Who's he talking about? Who's Moshe worried about? The Sefrei says, Kivein Moshe Rabbeinu El Shevet Dan Shahaya Yimahim Pesel Micha. And what does Moshe say is going to happen to this Shevet, God forbid? V'hivdilo Hashem l'ra'a. Hashem will distinguish them and set them apart for bad. V'kol shiftei Yisrael. U'macha Hashem b'shemo mitachas ha'shamayim. What we do to Amalek could happen to, God forbid, to Dan. Right? U'macha Hashem b'shemo mitachas ha'shamayim. It's very similar to the Pesukim at the end of where? M'shalach, about Amalek. V'amru kol ha'goyim. The nations are going to say, wow, we never saw God get so angry. Mechari, what's... Right? This anger of Hashem that's flaring. Sends him out. Go find another place to live. You're not part of the Machana. This is the threat that Moshe Rabbeinu issues against any Jew is going to end up that way. And Shevet Dan seems to have all of the characteristics. So Amalek's listening in, and they hear Moshe Rabbeinu saying these things. Then HaKadosh Baruch himself is contemplating destroying Shevet Dan by the Yam. Yeah? So listen to what Amalek says. We'll help you. Don't worry, Hashem. Yeah, the same way the Mitzvah were such tzaddikim. They took us because they knew that by the Brisbane Vassarim, someone had to put the Jews in captivity, so they figured they would be the tzaddikim to sign up for it. So Amalek says, listen, Hashem, you don't want Shevet Dan, we'll take care of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has rejected them. V'niflatu mitoch sukkas shlomo. Now is where Wilson starts to get a little poetic. Hashem threw them out of his beautiful sukkah. His sukkah of shalom. V'heim chutz la'anan ha'kavod ha'chosa al-klolis Yisrael. And therefore, says Amalek, in Cain is Davig Lahem, I'll attach myself to them and make them Tamei. Like Chazal say, Asher Karcha Baderech. Karcha is the lashon of Keri, it's the lashon of Tumas, is Rabbi Yehuda. Ki Yebucha Isha Sher Lo Yetahor Mikre. If a person has a Mikre Laila, and he becomes Tamei, Amalek says, I am the source of Tuma. Asher Karcha is the lashon of Kirirus, a lashon of distancing oneself from Hashem. V'kohu Darcho Shal Amalek B'chol Dor. In every generation, Amalek comes and says, we'll target the weaklings, we'll make them tame, we'll make them cold. Hunigash el hanechshal. It comes over to the nechashalim. Look what he says. Hunigash el hanechshal shenichshal. It comes to the weakling who has stumbled. Whether you've done small avers or big avers. This is Amalek speaking to us. Right? Nechshal, nechshal. Weakling, weakling. You've stumbled and have amassed many sins. Don't you realize you've been cast out of two worlds? Don't you realize God put you in Chayram? Don't you realize you're not part of the Machana? Don't you realize that you're the failures? You're the fallen Jew? And there's no hope for you in the future. Every phrase here, by the way, he's paraphrasing from Sukkim and Tanakh. I tried to track down as many as I could. So I wrote a lot of them in. Let me tell you something, my dear brother. Listen to Malik. Yeah, real Esav language. Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. Listen, my dear brother. Top of page Resh Pei Zayin. He says, I want to tell you something. She'elai Devar Yigunav. It's a pasuk in Iyov. Me'acharei Apargut. I've heard murmurings. I've heard whispers behind the curtain. I've listened to the inside scoop, and Hashem has had it with you. He's done with you. Don't you realize that you're part of Shevet Dan? Don't you realize Shevet Dan are the failures, so to speak, of the Jewish people, the family that didn't make it, the Shevet that's Shoresh Porer Rosh Ulahana, that has this rotting nature of Avodah Zarah amongst them. Alech Amar Kazam. Amalek gets all from it, starts quoting Psukim. Yeah? Amalek says, the Pasuk says about you, we have Dilo Hashem L'ra'al Mikol Shevtei Yisrael. This is part of the divine plan. One of the Shvatim doesn't make it. Alech Amar Kazam, Yashlechem El Eretz Acheres. You're the one who gets kicked out. Ein Lecha Chelek Belokei Yisrael Chas V'Shal. No? Ukeshenifrat Hayyadid HaMochiach Rabbeinu Amalek. Look at your right here, Rabbi Amalek. You see Rabbi Amalek? So when our good dear friend departs, yeah, after giving us a realistic picture of our lives, yeah, Harav Agon, Rabbeinu Amalek, Halazeh, Mehanechshal, when he goes away from the weakling, so how does the weakling feel? How does the Ikvus of the Mashiach Jew feel? Nimtzu b'matzav azu v'agum v'kulo omer marashchor. He's mamish depressed. Marashchor. Deep, dark depression. I'm not going to make it. V'yamaras chayayim. Vayimaris chayayim, the bitterness of the ikvus of the Mashiach. No, the pain, the suffering, the maris chora, the depression, which so many people are grappling with in a very real way in the world today, and therapy, and medicines, and all sorts of ways to try to cheer ourselves up. We're living in a very depressing time. There's a amount of maris chora, and it's all because Amalek is putting this idea in our head that we're so far away and there's no hope for us. We'll move on. Shemitoch matzav kazeh. Einu misode letorah va'avoda. Sharei eina shchina shor mitoch atzus. Ve'einu omdu l'spal mitoch atzus. And therefore, if I'm going to walk around depressed, I'm going to think I'm a loser, so I'm going to stop davening, I'm going to stop learning, and yeah, and my life will become that bitter reality that Amalek wants it to become. I'll fall into this, you know, infinite sadness. U'v'sefer beis Aaron, Rav Aaron Karliner says, Rav Aaron Agadol of Karlin, says, Shagam she'ein atzus aveira, a very famous line. Even though sadness is not in the veir per se, it's not one of the 613. Mikol makom ein lecha davar amevias adli de kol mina averus kamala. Such a chashuv line. If you're a sad person, if you let your yitzhara convince you that you're a nobody, that you're a failure, and you become sad because of your averus, then avera gerares avera. That one avera leads to another avera. So while sadness is not in the veir per se, there's nothing that makes a person as far from Hashem as what? As sadness. Maybe that's the pshat in Kisavo. If you didn't serve Hashem with sadness, then look what happened. So you think like, what? That's not fair. Why is Hashem punishing me with a tochacha and a holocaust because I was sad? Hashem's not punishing you anything. If you're a sad person, if you allow yourself to buy into the v'yamaros chayayim and the marash chora of Amalek, so then mameila, you're going to do all the averus in the world. You're going to turn your life into a holocaust. You're going to destroy yourself. Alright, I'll tell you one rabbis. Since you're nice guys, you came on Sunday. People don't come on Sunday today.
Why are you holding them back?
Because I want to give it to you in the right way. You can't give them a shlach manos except at the right time. So the gematria v'yamaru es chayayim, which of course is the pasuk from Shmos. Right? That what?
The
yeah, what does he say? Oh, v'yamaru es chayayim. He gives the remez of karma v'azla.
Whereas, yeah, but
that's where I thought you were going. I'm going to say my own remez today. In the beginning, by Mitzrayim, it's the root of all galus, right? If you look at what the Mitzrayim tried to do to us, part of the main plan was vayimaru es chayayim, to make their lives exceedingly bitter. So he just told us that one of the struggles of a Shevet Dan Jew, of an Ikvus of the Mashiach Jew, is to try to overcome that intense marishchor, that intense marirus, the bitterness of living in the times in which we live. and the sadness of feeling so far away from Hashem, which leads to all the averus in the world. So that's why Vayibaros Chayayam is Gematria 936, is Gematria Ikvus of the Mashiach. Exactly 936. Because the bitterness of Mitzrayim is felt most strongly in the period in which we're living. That heaviness and that depression that he's describing here. Vayibaros Chayayam is exactly Gematria Ikvus of the Mashiach. I have a reference from Marash Chor also that I just found this morning, but I'm going to save it for another time. Okay, but I'm happy he used the word Marash Chor, because Marash Chor is the word, you know what Marash Chor means? They used to believe that, it's not exactly true medically, right, but they used to believe that there were these, you know, four bile, four different liquid energies within a person that represent different moods. So black bile, Marash Chor, the black bile caused tremendous sadness in a person. Right? Now again, we don't believe necessarily in, again, these four different colored vials of liquids within a person, but certainly the ideas that were outlined long ago are still relevant today. So Marash Chor is a code word, certainly in Sefer Chassidus, but in general, it's a code word for depression. Okay, it literally means the black bile. B-I-L-E, bile. Okay? So Rav Aaron of Karlin says, sadness brings a person, Marash Chora, is the challenge of the Ikvus of the Mashiach, the Vayimar was Chayim, the bitterness of the times in which we're living. Va'amaleki hu pogeya b'chol nefesh yakari comes over to a sweet little Ikvus of the Mashiach, Shevet Dan Jew, and says, you are a loser and Hashem is not interested in you. That you're kicked out of the machana. Right? Lo ach nisenu, ki kol adam hu olam katan. U'mashiyesh b'chol ha'olam, yesh gam ba'adam. So therefore, the same way that a Malik says on the world stage, he says this to the Shevet of Dan, to the Jewish people, so to inside every one of us, Ikvus of the Mashiach Jews, we have a little Ashtikal Rabbeinu Amalek, who's got all the svaras, why? Yeah, why? Because it's in the Vera, I'm not worthy to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu anymore, etc., etc. But L'chein Yesh Lo, where it's underlined, L'chol Adam Amaleki Prati Amayuchad Lo. Everyone has their Amaleki inside of them that he needs to destroy. Sits on the left side, left chamber of the heart, and he stands there at every moment ready to destroy you. However, here's the good news. About Kenegdo, but also Alev Mamish in that same heart, on the right side is an Akuda Katana, Anita Shel Ish, Vialukus Mamish. What do we call that? We call it Yechida. It's called the Pintaliyin. We call it Mechelek Alokab Mimal. We have a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that says to the Amaleki, I'm going to destroy you before you destroy me. Uveshem kadcho nishma Hashem la'avram shelo yichben nitzel ze la'olam va'ed mikol echem yizaro. And Avram was promised that the light will never go out. The spark will never go out. V'hihi avas Hashem Hashem mizlakeches kashal heves b'libos ha-tzadikim. The fiery love for Hashem found the heart of the tzaddikim, which is tmun. Look at it, beautiful lashonos. V'tmuna beremetz tachas gil hataywas belibos haposhim. The tzaddik's heart is mamish on fire for Kadosh Baruch Hu. What about the person who's done all these lowly things? It's tmuna beremetz. What does that mean? Tmuna beremetz. Where is it buried? It's like a hot coal, right? A hot coal on the outside can sometimes look what? It looks gray and ashen. It looks like there's no fire anymore. Until you crack it open, you see it's still burning on the inside, boiling hot on the inside. So Tmuna Beremetz means what is buried in the ashes. That the spark of this yid is buried in the ashes beneath all the gil, hataybos, belibos, aposhim, under all of the filth of all the bad choices we've made. And that's what Shlomo Melech said in Shir HaShirim, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu Lechavos Za'ava. That all the water in the world, right? The Mayim Zeidonim, of course not the water of Torah, but there's Zel Umazeh. The Mayim Zeidonim, the bitter waters, the bad waters, can't extinguish the pure love. Naharas lo yishtefua. And no water, no river in the world can extinguish that spark within. It goes back to the promise that Hashem made to Avraham Avinu. Says the Chiddush Arim, we daven Shemona Esrei and we say what? We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you very much. How do we end the bracha? Magen Avraham. Says the Chiddush Arim, what's Magen Avraham? Hashem, you're guarding that part that you promised to Avram inside of each and every one of us. Magen Avram is a name, is a code word also for the spark within a Jew. Magen Avram. Magen Avram. What's the Gematria of Magen Avram? I'm just thinking now. I never checked it. 248. Avram's 248. Plus 93. No way, 351? Really? What's 351? 351 is like a really important number on Purim. So look, I'll check my computer. Okay, there's something. We just found something, I think. I'll let you know. Yes, a Magi Avram, the people he is. It's a promise to Avram, it'll never be taken away. And no, nothing can put it out in the world. To overcome all of the Yayish in the world. A Mali tries to bring a person to Yayish. Yeah? Ukashamagia, the Mayim Zaydonim, he says. They can't extinguish the spark within. Ukashamagia Zman, Shashamayim, Shal Ish Yehudi, Mislabshim, Kaderos, Shal Atzlis. Again, he's getting very poetic. This is the love letter from Wolfson. When the clouds over the head of a Jew are covered over with thick, dark clouds of sadness, and his heavens above is covered with thick clouds of Yayush, when it's Vayimar is Chayim, because you think someone's about to finish you off, and all of Klal Yisrael for that matter, you feel like giving up, even if you feel like I can make it, but no one's going to make it. Ashabo Mayim Ad Nafesh, to the point where you're up to your throat in the water, you're drowning. Ki Amalek Malachish Ba'aznav Limur Elokecha Yashinu. That Amalek's whispering in your ear that God is dead. Yeah? Quote a great, famous, infamous existentialist philosopher. God is dead. God is sleeping. It's all over. Miyad, immediately what happens afterwards? Kilam ayin ches. Vayikatz ki yashen Hashem ki gibor misronein miyayin. Umachuz muchamu ba'amalik. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you say Kadosh Baruch Hu is dead, that spark inside goes off, and all of a sudden, right, we wake up and we're ready to wage battle against Amalek. V'ko dibor Hashem l'amalek. Look what Hashem says to Amalek. Eich meleachal libcha ligzol es don b'ni mimeni. How dare you have the chutzpah to try to steal away one of my children, to kidnap one of my children, to take away my precious son, Dan. Im ani gerashti mi'al panai, v'nofafti es haretzua mi'al l'rosho, la'afchido, v'ga'arti bo'olim ha'rumacha, Hashem eshmo mitachas ha'shamayim. Hashem says, if I've pretended to excommunicate him, if I put my son in the corner to have a timeout and to think about what he did wrong, and I threatened him with, right, to intimidate him, to scare him, that I'm going to erase you from Tachas HaShemayim. V'yavdilu Hashem l'ra. And Hashem says that I'm going to set you apart and distinguish you in a bad way. Halo mikol makom, he stole my son, benihu. Top of the left column. U'lachlifo b'ven acher yafshar. We never trade away a child, no matter how bad the child is. U'limchos shemochas v'sham k'v'yachol eini yachol. And I cannot erase the name of this child. This is the yayush that we have to overcome. To try to overcome. By the way, I'll give you another remnant from this morning. Who defeats Amalek? Who defeats Amalek?
Yeshua.
Who defeats Amalek? Yeshua defeats Amalek, okay. And who does Yeshua come from? What Shevet?
Binyamin.
Yeshua comes from Ephraim. The Medrash says that the children that Amalek will only fall into the hands of the children of Rachel. As the Medrash says. Maybe it's Gemara. Chazal say that Amalek will only fall at the hands of what? At the children of Rachel. So who are the children of Rachel? So now, first of all, you should know, some people cheshbon, by the way, that the month of Adar corresponds to Yosef. Kedushas Levi, there's a marshal like that also. The cheshbon that this month corresponds to Yosef, and the very easy case one could make is that what? Is that the only shevet that splits into two, right, corresponds to the only month that splits into two, Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay? Could you make some interesting Torah about which, you know, is Adar Sheni, Ephraim or Manasseh? I haven't seen a lot of anything about that, but I'm very curious about it. If you come across anything, let me know. That's the only one? Right, so you could argue, right, you could argue in that formation.
What order are you referring to?
If you go in age order, the last. But sometimes Joseph is listed last.
In what order?
How is it at the beginning of Shemos?
Shalom is destroyed.
But that's what Kedushas Levi says. He says, Yosef, right, Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Ale Ayin. Yosef is compared to fish. The month of Adar is fish.
Fish is the only thing that's
low. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, Zvulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, V'Yosef, Hayab, Mitzrayim. So Yosef's last, according to the beginning of Shemos. So you can make it.
They were counting there.
Okay.
Going down.
Yeah, fine. Vayigash. There's a lot of places. You have to look at Mibra, you have to look at Vayigash, you have to look at Shemos. Okay, but anyways, again, the Marsha and the Kedush Levi say that the most basic proof is the fact that Adar splits into two and Yosef splits into two. But Chazal say that Amalek and Esau will only fall into the hands of who? Into the hands of the children of Rachel. Yeah? I'm not sure if it's Gemara or it's a Medrash. I'm not sure. That's what the Maimar Chazal says, that Rachel, it will definitely be the children of Rachel who conquer Amalek. So that's why the Gematria of Yosef plus Binyamin, right, the Banel Shal Rachel, the Gematria of Yosef plus Binyamin is 318, which is one more than Yayush. Yayush is 317. So the ability to conquer Yayush is Dafka al Yedei Banel Shal Rachel, which is Yosef and Binyamin. Now, if you remember from a couple months ago,
what's the Gematria?
Yosef plus Binyamin is 318, one more than Yayush. But if you remember that, remember we spoke about who was here that Shabbos? When I stayed for Shabbos, so that Shabbos afternoon we had that shir, remember that Gemara in Sukkah? The woman says, the 318 servants. What?
The 318 servants, yeah.
Right, 318 servants, that whole thing, and the Rasaduk, overcoming Yayush. So 318 is always the number that we use, Gematria Eliezer. We always try to overcome the Yayush with that number 318, which a lot of Sarim talk about. Okay? So 318 is the Kalach to overcome the Yayush, which is what Amalek is all about. It's all about that empty claim of Amalek. It's the Marash Chor, it's the Marash Chayayim. It's trying to convince you that you're not worthy to be part of Klal Yisrael. So Dafka, Yosef, and Binyamin will give us the Kalach to fight against that.
Amalek and Safik.
Right, Amalek and Safik, your whole life becomes a big Safik, right?
So it says that in when it comes to Avram, when he waged war.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's
what I was referring to. When Avram goes out to battle with his 318. Okay, good. Let's go on. Good, so this is what Amalek says. So Hashem says, are you joking? You think I'm going to exchange my child for anyone else? I would never abandon my child. Erase his name? Ata Amalek, you're the one who's going to be erased. Amalek has Edoni. I'll fulfill about you what I pretended to say about my style done. What I said, right? Because it says, that's exactly like, you're the one who's going to be erased. Okay? When we get this message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we feel so much better, so relieved. The farthest month, the most distant month, Jews about to be slaughtered to the biggest simcha, the biggest celebration of all. You'll go from the darkness of Adar. There'll be a breakthrough of light, and we'll go straight from there into Nisan, Azman, that's Kula Or, and Kula Geula, and there'll be a gathering of those who are far away, Veshavu Banam L'Gvula, and each person will come back to his place within Klai. So unbelievable. Okay? Next paragraph, Uvi Yushalmi. Yushalmi says, that the Nes of Purim took place in Adar Sheni. So this year is the real Adar. Right? This is the real Purim. We have to go one step further. We spoke about every month having a shevet, right? We lined up the months with the shvatim. But now we have to go a step further, because we know that every month has a shem of Hashem that's associated with that month. Because I can write Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, in 12 different ways. So, for example, Nisan is Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. Everything Keseder in order the way you would expect it to be. What's the Shem Hashem for the month we're in, Adar? You think backwards? Ben Havacha. Good guess. Tammuz is backwards. The month of Adar is Hey, Hey, Yud, Vav. Yeah? That's why I think a good Adar greeting when you see your friend in the month of Adar, you should say, Hey, yo. Hey yo, it's Hashem Hashem for the month of Adar. Okay, that's a good shtick if you want a good shtick for Adar. You should be people, hey yo. Hey hey, you'd vote. I don't know if that's saying Hashem's name in vain or something. I don't think we should do that. Yeah? My father always says, why is the Shem Hashem for Adar? Hey, hey, Yud Vav. Hey, hey is 10, Yud Vav is 16. What does the Gemara say? What's the opening Mishnah of Maseches Megillah? Megillah, Nikreis B'yud Alf Yud Beis Yigal says Vav. Lo Pachos V'lo Yoser. Right? Lo Pachos. You can't read the Megillah on the 10th. You can't read the Megillah on the 16th. So, hey, hey, Yud Vav are the bookend, so to speak, where all of Purim takes place in between. Okay? So the question is, Adar Sheni. Adar Sheni. B'nai Yisrael quotes a medrash that if you're going to daven and you're not going to use the Shem Hashem for that month, your tefillahs aren't going to be answered. So Adar Sheni doesn't have a corresponding name of Hashem. Which means Adar Sheni is this month where everything's going to fall apart. There can be no tefillahs, there can be no salvation. Mativo shal Adar Sheni, he says. So he says where it's underlined. I saw in some siddurim, or Yisi B'Ktsas siddurim, Shechodesh Adar Sheni who call out Klalus Shem Avaya. That Adar Sheni corresponds to what? An all-encompassing name. Again, the paradox of the lowest thing being the highest thing. I'll put something out there because I really haven't thought about it yet, but I thought of it during davening this morning. I want to work on it. If the 13 months maybe correspond to what? The Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Bahem. What's the 13th one? Shnei Ksuvim Hamachishim Zazah. And then we say right after that, we should be Zochah to be in Beis Hamikdash, right? So that 13th of the Yigal Midos, that the Torah is darshened by, yeah, has to correspond to Adar Sheni. So what's the Shnei Ksuvim Achishim Zazah? The Shnei Ksuvim Achishim Zazah means you encounter something that seems to be a complete paradox. That's exactly what Adar Sheni is. We can't seem to figure it out. Is it the lowest month? Does it have no Shem Hashem? Or does it have the highest Shem Hashem? Are the Ikvus of the Mashiach Jews the best Jews ever who are going to bring Mashiach? Or are we the lowest people ever, like the heel? Is the heel going to crush the head of the snake? We're going to accomplish things that earlier generations couldn't accomplish? Or we're doomed to fail? That whole inyan, that whole confusion is Shnei Chesu Machishim Zazah. Like this confusion. Like what? It's a total steer. It doesn't make sense. Like we learned on Yotes Kislev. Do we have Pnimius HaTorah because we're on the highest level, we're closest to Mashiach, or because we're on the lowest level, we're basically off the derech, so this is the only thing to keep us alive. We're taking really heavy medicine, just to stay alive. So that confusion, which Amali tries to play against us, tries to play the Suffolk against us, like some of us spoke about last year, right? Every Suffolk has two sides to it. See, Amali presents the Suffolk as, Suffolk, you're the worst generation ever. And they want us to focus on that. Right? But there's another side. There's another side that we're grappling with. There's a positive suffix. Suffix, maybe we're the best generation ever. So we have to play up that side of the suffix. Right? Until we gain a clarity. And we know what the psak's going to be. Here at Zon, that there's going to be Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's what we're saying. Okay? So what's the story? It says we're mostly with other Sheni. There's no Shem Hashem. No, the Hef. If the biggest Shem Hashem, the loftiest Shem Hashem, it's the name that's kolel all the other names. V'nira bir inyan zeh, ki anidachim mishev adon, asher heim chutz l'machana Yisrael, heim l'chora chutz mikedushas yud beis seirufim v'nidachim l'chutz afilo achore chodesh adar. It seems that we're chutz l'machana, that there can be no. Okay, that there can be no salvation for these people. Yes, in the Shalosh Shenidva Ki'ilu Ein Sheichos L'Knesses Yisrael. There's no hope for them. Look what he says here. It's beautiful. Look what he writes. So these neshamos that appear to have no sheichos, Asher Nimshul L'Levana, Asher Hiateres Teferes L'Yisrael. The Jewish people we know are compared to what? To the moon. What about a Jew compared to the sun? That means you're by the Umas Olam. You're going by the Goyish calendar. There's 354 days in the Jewish calendar here. It looks like these days, Adar Sheni, is Chutz L'Machana. It doesn't fit into the calendar. But what are we really doing in Adar Sheni? What we're doing is we're taking back a few of the sun days and we're turning them back into what? Into moon days. We're realigning the sun calendar with the moon calendar. So look what he says where it's underlined. The other Sheni Jews, we're stealing back days, right? To make sure the calendar maintains itself. We bring them back into the Chodesh Yisrael. Shu other sheini shetafkida lahashros as Yimos Chacham and Yimos Levana, to show that the Jew looked like entirely Umos Ha'olam personality is really shayach to the Levana, shayach to Klal Yisrael. Avadai avadayin heim chutz migvul yud beis shvatim. Right, but they still seem to be outside. So is that a bad thing? The answer is no. It's a higher madriga. Aval adayin im chutz migvul yud beis shvatim al yidua shekol gematria yesh la kolel shemosif an achas l'cheshvon. We have a rule, you're allowed to be off by one gematria. So what is that? Kolel. What's the concept of kolel? So there's different explanations for the concept of kolel. One of the concepts is that every number, every idea has to be mekushar to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So here you have, right, a 13th shevet doesn't seem to fit in, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Don't worry, I'll be the kolel. I'll be the one who makes it fit." Bisim asvara kadoshim shezeh kolel hu a Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzma, who kolel is kol ha'olam. And therefore, Nira Biuro, Ki Kadosh Baruch Hu mitztarei flahashros hachashbonos habilti mitukanos shebiyisrael. Whenever a number is off by one, Hashem comes and says, I can make that final tikkun. This shevet doesn't seem to make it. I'll show you that even though the year seems to operate in cycles of 12, Hashem says, I'll make a 13th. So this shevet has a place to feel that they're connected.
Shabbos Malchus.
Yeah, Shabbos Malchus, exactly. Upirka Dereb Eliezer. In Pirkei Avot Eliezer, it says that when the Jews went down to Mitzrayim, there were 69 Jews. But there were 70, right? Or it says there were 70, but you really count, there's 69. Who's number 70? So you say, Yochav is born between the walls. One opinion is Hashem is number 70. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, there also seems to be off by one. Turn the page. And again, Hashem is number 70. As the Pasuk says in Vayigash, Anochi Eirei Nimcha Mitzrayim of Anochi Alcha Gam Alo, top of page Resh Peches. Hashem says, I have the ability to turn 12 into 13, and I can work out all of these things. Okay, Chaver, we only have a few minutes left, so let's jump ahead, and let's finish up the piece. Let's go to the next paragraph. V'lachem, Kishaba Chodesh Adar Chodesh HaHester, Hu Dafka Zman L'Kavos L'Nisan U'Gula. You would say, now is not a time to hope for anything, and the answer is just the opposite. That's the paradox. That you're on the verge, you're at the bottom of the calendar, which is about to go back to the top.
If you feel like, not only can I not be redeemed, but I'm drowning in the darkness, the darkness is thick, like the choshech of Mitzrayim. Yeah, it's really dark. But we're about to have a breakthrough. Haman looks at Chodesh Adar, and Haman says, this is the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died in. That's Kavaldik. Moshe Rabbeinu died. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu? Let's go back way back to where we started this whole discussion. The Tanya said that the head is connected to the heel, that the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moach of Klal Yisrael, is found where? All the way down by the heel. But in Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu died. So maybe the heel doesn't draw from the sustenance, from the Koach of the Rosh. When he saw that Haman saw that Moshe Rabbeinu died, he was filled with Simcha. Yeah? He thinks this is the time to get them. No, where it's underlined. Ukeshaba Adar Sheni. Haman thought that what? Shuv ein koach b'chil shal Moshe lahamshich es hachavel and nishmos shapoltan on him. Maybe Moshe's rope stretching all the way down from the top to the bottom, maybe the rope only goes so far. Maybe the rope can't reach outside the clouds. So pull back in those who have slipped away. So I wrote at the bottom, I was thinking, when the Tikkun HaZohar says, Ispashtusa de Moshe b'chol dara v'dara, that Moshe's hispashtus is in every generation, that Moshe can be felt in every generation, right? I think you could suggest that Dara Vidara, which is what I'm talking about, Dara is Osios Ada. That the ispashtus, right, the hispashtus of Moshe is in every Dara, Dal Resh Aleph, in every other. And the Lashon of the Zohar is the whole Dara Vidara. So what are we saying? Moshe Rabbeinu can reach to Adar number one at the end of the calendar, and not only that, Moshe says, "Behold, Dar Vidara." He can even reach to Adar number two. That's how far Moshe Rabbeinu's reach goes. That it's not shayat that there'd be a group of people that are outside that are disconnected from the Moach. The toenail has a shayachus to the Moach. Top of the left column. What didn't Haman realize? Haman didn't realize that. Well, yes, Moshe died in Adar, but Moshe was also born in Adar. Avalo yada she'oz nolad Moshe v'yish davka b'chodesh adar sheni ahischadshus to those neshamos that are chutz l'machane. It's a zman of hashavas aveda. It's a restoration of Klal Yisrael. Gevaldik. And therefore he says, when you come to Chodesh Adar, when you come to Purim, we read Parshas Tetzaveh as we're kicking off this time of the year. Moshe's name doesn't appear in Tetzaveh. Oi, There's no more Moshe. There's no more Kashrus to Moshe Rabbeinu. Lehefech. Ba'ata titzave as Bnei Yisrael. Ba'ata. You is an even higher level. You is an even higher way of referring to Moshe than calling him by the name Moshe, which was given to him perhaps by Bas Paro, even though she was converting at that time. But that's even a higher name. Ba'ata titzave. Shemen Zayez Zach. Shemen, you know what Shemen Zayez Zach means? It means Chochmei Yilah. It means the Malach Sheba Malach. You think this is not connected to Moshe Rabbeinu? The lowest Jews are deeply connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says where it's underlined, "Ukomo shechodesh shemichutz lemachana is nishapich lesasun lesimchul ora." So too those other Sheni Jews have a strong iskashrus to Moshe, the Dorosh of Mashiach, the Dordeya, Dorosh of Moshe, Dorosh of Nisan, the Nisan of the future with Mashiach. So now Rav Wolfson concludes. So therefore, ukeshenirgash b'chush, as we all know, Purim hu ayom tov shahashvelim v'anumuchim. Purim is the holiday of the lowly Jew. Purim is the holiday of the drunken Jew. Right? Like the Navi says, you're not drunk from wine, you're drunk from your Averus. All the Shtus of Purim means that it's the holiday for the Bali Avera. And yet, it's a time where they feel that even the Shuffle is very connected. So look what he writes here. Umi shemargish ba'atzmo shu namach. If a person feels low, umi shemechane es atzmo b'shem shafel. If he labels himself as a lowlife, yotza v'yalos im chago amiuchlo. Come out and celebrate your holiday. V'yakshiv l'kol ayotzi v'bein kanfei akruvim. Hashem b'soch michta shelvavo. Beautiful lashonos. Listen to what the sweet sound is emanating from what? From between the kruvim in the mikdash inside of yourself. Listen to your magen avram. Listen to your pintaliyin. V'chazay yishma shema na li ata shavel. Listen, please, my dear shafel. Sheva don. Habe emes kasavar atasha aveda sheina chozeres ata. You think you're a lost object that's lost forever. That it's yayosh and it's never going to be restored. Lo keinu ki afilu mitoch zuto shel yam v'shel ilusa shel nar misham yikabetz Hashem elokecha misham yikachecha. He's paraphrasing. There's a Mishnah in Bava Metzia Daf Chav Dalet that says what? Hamatzel mizuto shel yam. What's the halacha? If you're standing on the beach and all of a sudden the water spits out a bike, and on the bike it says, "Yeah, this bike belongs to Dan Lubin and has a phone number and an address," and so clearly a simon. Can I keep it or not? I can keep it. If you recover something from the Zuto Shalyam, from the waves of the ocean, when it was swept out to sea, when you lost your bike at sea, you thought you were never going to see it again. Total yayish. So says Rav Wolfson, paraphrasing that Mishnah in Bava Metzia Chav Dalet, Hamatzel Mizuto Shalyam, Hashem, even if you're swept out to sea, where normally halacha assumes yayish, Hashem says, I'm going to come after you. I'm going to find you, I'm going to drag you back. Even if you're a dead Jew, you're nothing but dried out bones, and you're buried in a Goyish cemetery, yeah, in a Beis Kvaros or Goyim, your father, who's a Kohen, is going to come into the Beis Kvaros to save you. Mimosh of Yekar b'Shemayim, Kadosh Baruch is a Kohen, yet he still comes into the Beis Kvaros to save you. The Afir b'Chal Ruach Laman Chayechin is a breathe new life into you. Ba'al Tomer Ben Hanechar Ani Milios Nilvel Hashem Leimor Havdel Yevdilani Hashem Yalamo. Maybe I'm cut off. Maybe I'm not worthy. Ba'al Tomer Hein Ani Eitz Yavesh. B'nei Sholeach Igeres Elecha. And therefore, I'm writing you this beautiful letter. Lo Sefer. This is not a book. Ki im echtov hadvarim b'sefer efshar shetomer l'man kol chevrasav aval lo l'mancha. But if it's a book, it's for everyone. It's published in the markets. Anyone can buy it. It's not a book. It's a letter. It's a personal letter to every Jew. Elohim nisholeach l'cha igeres hapurim l'cha b'yichu. Top of page resh pei tes. I'm sending you what? A personal letter. And on the wrapper, on the envelope, what does it say? El kvod don ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu ubenasha Knesset Yisrael. It says to my dear Shevet Don, the honorable Shevet Don, Hashem yichutz l'machane shalom. Right, I sent you a postcard. You're far away. The postcard arrived, and I wish you shalom aleichem. I'm greetings of shalom. Greetings of peace. Hamovil ksav zehu Mordechai batzma. Who's the one who delivers the post, the letter? Mordechai himself delivers it to you. Asher oro shu nafsho shal Moshe Rabbeinu mafia b'chol purim b'chol dara v'dara. V'yiz kriyas ha-megillah to bring simcha to you. Like it says in the Svarim HaKadoshim, ki Mordechai ha-Yehudei dorish tov la'amo v'dover shalom l'chol zaro. Mordechai is the Rebbe who brings shalom to the Jews who are far away. What's the gematria of shalom? If you use a mem sofit is 600. Mem sofit, right? The sofit letters are 500, 600, 700, 800, 900. What's the Gematria of Shalom? These are the last words of the Megillah. Vidover Shalom Lechol Zara.
936.
That's right. What's 936? I told you before. Because the Mashiach is 936. So the Rebbe who's Dover Shalom Lechol Amo, the Rebbe who speaks, the Rebbe of the broken Jews. Yeah? Of the lowest Ikkus and Mashiach, the Vimaru is Chayei of 936 Jews. The one who can say Shalom. Shalom is also of Shlemus, Shalom is also of peace, Shalom is also of all good things. He's Dover Shalom Lechol Zaro, for every Jew, that no Jew is going to be lost. That every Jew is going to find his way back. That when the Torah says, if you see your friend's donkey, or his shirt, and it's lost, what does the Torah say? You're not allowed to what? V'salamta, you're not allowed to look away. You're not allowed to look away. Lo, right? You're not allowed to. Because it's v'salamta, the Gemara Darshan, sometimes you're allowed to look away. Right? But v'salamta is what you're not allowed, when a Jew, there's a Jew who needs help, yeah? When there's a Jew who needs help, you're not allowed to look away. He's Dorish Tov La'amu v'dover Shalom L'chol Zaro. There's the last words in the Megillah. Dover Shalom L'chol Zaro. You know the gematria of Dover Shalom L'chol Zaro is the way it's spelled in the Megillah, not the way it's spelled here. Dover Shalom L'chol Zaro is the gematria of Visalamta. Visalamta, because the whole of Avodah Shevet Dan is a Shavas Aveda. They have a Jew who looks like he's totally lost. Visalamta, you want to look away and say, forget it. There can be no Shavas Aveda. Zuto Shoyam, Atalacha, Yayush. Mordechai said, Dover Shalom L'chol Zaro. Mordechai said, every Jew, I'm going to make sure that they get back to their place. I'm not going to look away. I'm not gonna be in violation of Visalamta. I'm gonna hide myself from him. No, lehafich. I'm gonna seek him out wherever he is, and I'm gonna bring him back. V'teida sheigeres hazos yishlucha al kol haYehudim asher b'chol medinos hamelach hakrovim barachokim. Shemata don b'ni afil l'rachokim. Listen, my dear son, Don. It's a lakadosh baruch hu ein yisrael rachokim. Shari Rav Masna pasach pisra besoch libos yisrael ki mi goy. Where do we start? Remember Rav Masna's drasha. Rav Masna says, "Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav." The lo teilech b'shitaso shalhaman, who holds that you're far from Hashem. Yehudi anechshal, weakling of a Jew. Don amaruchak, shevet don, you're so far away. Hekitz of Iranim v'skar v'tochek avicha, run back to your father, jump into his lap. Your avicha shabashamayim, and be filled with simcha with him. Minikudas libcha, yeah. Im etzem haluz shalacha. Use your luz bone. The luz bone is the part that what? That we're chazek, we love malka, gives chizek to the luz bone. It's the part of the bone that tchias amesim comes from. The part that doesn't get destroyed in the grave. To believe that you have the ability to find your way back in. Okay? 2 minutes left, chaver. Let's just end. He says the following. He says, where do we find our chelek in the Torah? Let's bring it back to the Torah now. The Torah also has a beginning and an end.
Letter.
The Torah starts with Bereishis Bar Elokim. Bereishis, Bishvil Moshe Shenikra Reishis is one of the Gemara's, one of the Medrash's drushes. Moshe is the Reishis, he's the Rosh. And where are the Jews who are at the very end? What do we know about the last 8 psukim of the Torah? Who wrote the last 8 psukim?
Yeshua.
Machlokas. Could be it wasn't even written by Moshe, according to one opinion. Right? There's no Kesher to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Yeshua. Or maybe Moshe wrote it with tears. What's he crying about? He's looking at Jews in the Mashiach and he's feeling pained. When Moshe looks at us, and he's in a lot of pain as he's trying to write these final, right? The psukim that say, Vayavas Shem Moshe, and Moshe died there. Maybe we no longer have a kashrut of Moshe Rabbeinu. So go to the left-hand column, the second paragraph. Avalzeh ta'os meforsam. Shekarosh Baruch Hu Moshe Avdo is nichos and achashal mishev edon. God forbid to think that Hashem and Moshe left us. That was the Taos of Amalek. Vayezanev b'chol kol nechashalvim. What didn't Haman know? Vayezanev, he says, Rav Moshe Wolfson gives a remez. Vayezanev is Rashi Tevos v'lo yada zayin ba'adar nolad. He knew that Moshe died in Adar, but he didn't know that Moshe was born in Adar. What does that mean? Because the Gemara really says that Moshe Rabbeinu lo meis. Gemara Sotah says Moshe never really died. That even if it appears that Moshe dies in Azar, we know that Moshe at 120, the pasuk says about him what? His eye was still straw. His eyesight was perfect. The last 3 words of the Torah, the eyes are still strong. We still have the right perspective in how we see ourselves, and we're going to go straight back to what? Straight back to Bereishis. And if you'll tell me that Yeshua wrote the pasukim, Yeshua is the one who fights against Amalek. So that's Moshe charging Yeshua, as the Pesukim say at the end of the Torah, and he did smicha, like we're learning in Sanhedrin. Malei Ruach Chachma, he put his hands upon him, he gave him smicha, and he gave him the ability
to fight back and to not feel lost. Go to the last page, last paragraph. Which comes to the end of the love letter. These days are remembered and mentioned in all generations, b'chol dor v'dor, u'v'chol shana v'shana, whether it's a shana pshuta, u'v'at tofes she'v'adonis b'kom v'sof ha'machaneh, l'man d'amr k'kor ha'yochim, if it's a regular year, if we follow the opinion that they traveled in a straight line, don is the last month, whether it's a shana m'uberes, u'v'at tikon od yoser, that even those who are chutz l'machaneh, who don't even fit to the order of 12, can have a tikon, v'yesh lomer shem shtei ha'deos b'gemara. Whether the last eight pesukim written by Moshe or Yoshua corresponds to whether it's a leap year or not a leap year. B'chol ofen, regardless of how you slice it, Kadosh Baruch Hu makasher on the shamos shel achris am, shel achris, him on the shamos shel reishis b'chinas nefesh. You should know, like the Tanya told us, that the toenail feels a deep iskashrus to the rosh, to the head. Hu makasher other im nisan b'chinas zman. You go from Adar, you go back to Nisan. You go from Leinei Kol Yisrael, you go back to Bereishis. You go from Ikhlas the Mashiach Jews, where it appears that Moshe is dead, where Moshe never really died. Bereishis, B'shul Moshe Shnikar Bereishis. U'makasher Shushan, Asher Be'elam, Shushan, which is in Elam, Medina. You connect it back to Yerushalayim, which is the highest place in Zman. V'nizgal simcha v'hergish b'leib b'nei Yisrael, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Chu'asam l'Netzach, V'tikvasam b'chol dor v'dor. Milchama l'Hashem Amalek b'chol dor, right? Midor dor, to fight Amalek in midor dor, in every generation, Amalek tries to come and tell you it's not Shaykh. V'davka chushim ben dan. Who's the one who chopped off the head of Esav? Yeah, the head of Amalek, the root of Amalek, the head of Esav. Chushim ben dan, who's what? Who's deaf. Chushim, osios Mashiach. Mashiach ben dan. Chushim ben dan. Same letter as Mashiach. The Mashiach that can only come from a Sheva dan. From the descendants of Dan. Hu amakas Esav, the root of Amalek and Haman. Ki lamanu hukva Purim. That's where the world of Purim comes from. Umishu namach b'yoser. The farther away you are, the more kicked out of the camp you are, the deeper and darker into the calendar you are, that means the closer you are to Nisan. The closer you are to Gula. Ki gam lamala hasimcha imo b'yoser kedugmas ben avod miyua sheshava laviv. It's the simcha. It's the unbelievable joy that we feel when a person comes back to, when a child who's lost comes back to the father. This is the love letter that we read from Mordechai, from Hashem, from Rav Wolfson, from all the tzaddikim, from Moshe Rabbeinu, that we read as we get ready for Pesach, Yom Geulas Nisan, V'darshim bo b'nyano shachag, Shalom nesatzev, there shouldn't be any sadness, Shalom nityayesh, we shouldn't be depressed, we shouldn't be miyayesh, V'necha v'nesapa l'avinu shu ha-shamayim, Shoshianu v'yigalenu shenis, Lemar hingaalti yishanach ha-shreishis, V'yos lechem leilokim.
Amen.
Shkayach. A lot of words. Thanks for sticking it out. Baruch Hashem. Now we know the poems for us. Promise for us. Moshe Rabbeinu lives. Behold, Dara Vidara. Adarsheni, Ekuz Mashiach. No sadness, no depression. Simcha, we're on the half a step away from Mashiach. You really have to believe it. Alright? Shkoyach. Thanks for coming.